you or someone you love wish you had a better job? Want to be happier on your current job? Don't even have a job? Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko.
I think most of us probably have an inner Pollyanna and an inner Scrooge. American norms give great priority to our expressing our inner optimism or our optimistic sides, but not so much our negative sides. And I thought it would be fun, and I try to do the same thing, because indeed in this these tough job market times, it's very helpful to be a little bit optimistic, because, you know, it's not any easy out there. And we don't want to be dishonest, but we want to err on the side of optimism. However, I thought it would be fun, at least for today's show, as we approach the holiday Christmas season. This is relevant to Christmas, so I'm not going to say holiday. Indeed, the iconic play, movie around this time is A Christmas Carol, and the iconic character Scrooge. And so I thought I would unleash my inner Scrooge this morning on both key protagonists in the world of work, the employer and the employee. And so I am going to opine on the downsides, a Scrooge's look at employers and employees. And if you care to opine afterwards, I will indeed invite you to call, as well as if you want a 3-minute workover. So, but let's start with employers. It's a little more politically correct to bash employers than employees, so we'll start with them. Too many, I mean, there's some employers who are saints, but too many employers suck. They are despicable from the very first minute a new employee enters the workplace and looks up there at the on the wall, the corporate motto or nonprofit motto, and says, "Our people are our most important product," or some other thing like that. Important? My butt. If people are their most important product, then why, when automation can replace a worker, does our, quote, most important product get laid off faster than you can say the word offshore? And I think that these particular employers, and again, we're not talking about everybody, we're talking about some, they're particularly despicable at universities and nonprofits, as well as in some politicians' operations. Why? Because universities and nonprofits and many politicians proclaim to champion worker rights, and yet, because it affects their bottom line, they turn into, well, Scrooge. For example, to skirt the minimum wage law, they convert positions that would be paid positions into volunteer gigs and unpaid internships. To avoid having to pay benefits, these hypocritical organizations, they make some of their positions that are paid part-time and temp. In fact, those employers, no matter how much they proclaim to advocate worker rights, do everything but prohibit employees from putting another piece of coal on the fire. People are our most important product, right? And those employers' hypocrisy extends well beyond hiring. Too many employers claim to welcome employee risk-taking. Yes, we do advocate risk-taking, and we encourage you to disagree. But in practice, what do they really reward? Kissing up. Those employers are demanding that supervisees work long and hard while they work short and easy. How many bosses are trying to mark time until their stock options vest or their 403b plans max out, and so they can, you know, their PERS retirement plan, so they can retire to Margaritaville or Potville? Those employers, they'll use those catchphrases like work-life balance. But in practice, what they really define it as is you can work any 12 hours a day you like. Employers' suckiness, yeah, that's a technical term, is not limited to hypocrisy. Here are some examples. The micromanager, who makes employees fritter away massive time writing these accountability reports. That micromanager requires 3 signatures to blow your nose. And to ensure that employees have even less freedom, the micromanager, quote, manages by walking around, which really means breathing down everyone's neck to be sure that nary a moment is wasted. Doing holiday internet shopping on company time? Horror! So what if you worked late the last three nights? Then there is the foolishly consistent boss, who subjects even the smartest, the hardest working worker to the same onerous reporting requirements as the most inert brain-dead employee. Speaking of brain-dead, then there's the stupid boss. Alas, some bosses get promoted mainly because they've kissed enough butt, or they enabled a box to be checked, or they looked physically like a leader, full heads of hair, attractive, tall, thin. Another example of employers' suckiness, the hothead employer. They react to a dangling participle like it was Armageddon. And not only does such a boss bite your head off, that kind of boss does it in front of everyone. Then there's the lying boss. That boss is usually clever enough to avoid breaking a direct promise. Instead, he or she uses vagueness. Oh, yes, I can see you getting promoted. Soon. We'll be doing your performance review. Soon. I don't think there'll be any layoffs. The lying boss. And, of course, bad employers save the worst for last. When they dump you, they often make it more demeaning than what the Puritans did to petty criminals, parading them before the villagers, before locking them in the town square stockade. Such employers make you carry your possessions out as the security guard marches you out, while the co-workers watch you in pity and in fear that they may be next. Employers, well, some employers, bah humbug. So, that's my inner Scrooge being unleashed on employers. I'm now going to turn to employees, but first I'm going to turn to you. If you want to unleash your inner Scrooge, we're going to not be nice today. We're going to be mean. We're going to be Scrooge-like. It's kind of fun to skewer folks instead of nice talk all the time, like the previous philosophy talk. Well, the importance of cooperation and teamwork and all that. Well, for today, nah. If you would like to unleash your inner Scrooge on employers or employees, we're going to get to them in a minute, I invite you to call here at Work with Marty Nemco. The phone number, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And now I will turn to employees. Fair is fair, so it's less politically correct, but there are at least some employees who deserve an inner Scrooge being unleashed. So, some employees are bad from the day they apply for a job. Their resume? Creative writing. 45% of all resumes contain dishonesty. Their references are bogus. They may, for example, have their main squeeze as their main reference so that when the employer calls the ostensible former employee, the girlfriend or boyfriend says, oh, yes, he was a fantastic employee. Oh, the only reason we had to lay him off is because there were some union rules that said last hired, first fired, but he or she is fantastic. These same employees, after getting hired, they don't become any more honest. Their expense accounts, their accountability reports are no more honest than their job applications are. Such employees focus more on sizzle than steak. They're as committed to suck-up networking as to getting work done. They're as committed to their wardrobe as to their professional development. Such employees have no compunction about getting paid for work hours that they spend playing on the internet or taking sick days when they're not sick. Oh, they may rationalize, well, my boss sucks, so I need a mental health day. Well, they don't even bother to rationalize. The Giants playing the Dodgers today. I think I'll call in sick. These kind of employees, they will frequently leave work early. They'll leave their coworkers in the lurch, not giving a crap about that. Because they don't, most people's work today, they are part of teams. They are interdependent. But they don't care. And what they like to use, one, you know, there's many different rationales for leaving early, but one of their favorites is the kid excuse. The employee claims that kiddo has a doctor's appointment or even just a soccer game. They're very clever, these kind of workers. They know that that kiddo excuse is very potent because coworkers are going to be reluctant to object because, heaven forbid, they would be anti-child or even sexist. These kind of employees, they sabotage good workers to make themselves look better in comparison. Like, for example, they might withhold crucial information from a good employee, but, oh, no, I didn't do that. Or they dig to find dirt on the good employees and tell everybody else about it. And if there's no dirt, that's no problem. They just make it up. And these kind of employees, when they get a bad performance review, they don't work to improve. They deflect blame. They're masters at it. Oh, it's the boss, bad company. Oh, lack of direction, too much direction. Anything but that the employee is lazy, stupid, skill-free, sleazy, or all of the above. And these kind of employees, if they're knowing that they're at risk of getting, quote, laid off, if not out and out fired, such employees, they often file a legal claim. Discrimination, harassment, Americans with Disabilities Act. That way, if they get dumped, they can claim it's retaliation, get the job back. Very clever. A particularly insidious form of this is a supervisee seducing the boss. If the boss is stupid enough to have sex with that person, the employee claims abuse of power, and that gives the manipulator job security for life. And if such employees do get terminated, they are ever more likely, and I've read statistics that if you look at the charts of the amount of employee wrongful termination claims, they're wildly increasing. They're ever more likely to file a claim of wrongful termination, valid or not, and now they have 20 separate bases for making that claim. And whether or not the claim's valid, it costs the employer big bucks, plus incredible. I have some clients who have been accused of unfair firing, and the stress they've had to see psychiatrists, get on medications, etc., because the stress of defending against a claim that says you are sexist, you are racist, you are harassing, or whatever, is mammoth. The cost of hiring an American is great, and it is growing. On top of salaries that are higher than in most of the world, there is the cost of the Affordable Care Act. There is the cost of workers' compensation. There is the cost of Social Security. There is the cost of Medicare. There is the cost of SSDI, that's disability. There is the cost of sick days, legitimate and not. There is the cost of vacation days. There is the cost of Family and Medical Leave Act, which is paid in California. There is the cost of the Americans with Disabilities Act. There is the cost of those wrongful termination suits. So is it any wonder that employers are automating and offshoring as much as possible? And whatever hiring they do is increasingly part-time or temp. Is it any wonder why America's recovery, if it really is a recovery, is a jobless one? Is it any wonder why quietly many employers think employees? Bah, humbug. Well, at least some employees, bah, humbug. Anyway, if you want to opine on my having unleashed my inner Scrooge on both employers and employees, either because you want to chime in and join in the opprobrium, or you want to be a Santa rather than a Scrooge and bestow some nice words on employees or employers, I do welcome your call here at Work with Marty Nemco. The phone number, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And now, to the phones. Welcome to the show. It's your turn on the air. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Marty.
Good morning.
Yes, a very clear, cold Sunday morning. My name is John.
Hi, John.
And I'm calling about one topic which I don't think you might have mentioned. Excuse me, I came in rather late into the show, but that is were her employers. And I find that my experience in working with companies that tout how progressive they are has been a very interesting experience. For the first thing, there is this air of informality that the boss pushes on you, like call me Bob or call me Ann or whatever, and the informality in dress, informality in manners. But I have noticed that that informality has been used as a means of breaking down certain barriers and taking advantage of you. The other thing, of course, are the low wages that you are paid, and you are told, oh, be glad you are working for this progressive company, blah, 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 not to mention the long hours. And, of course, if you dare protest, a lot of the victim mentality is being used back at you. And of course, last but not least, there is a sort of do as I say, not as I do sort of attitude. They get on your case while at the same time putting a big smile. They're raking in a lot of money, and you are getting no benefit from it. And so I find that I would rather work for a company that is more traditional and formal, because at least you know where the limits are. And as of where I am right now, I'm self-employed and very happy about it. And thank you for this program.
Well, thank you very much. I'm going to comment on each of those things. The informality. Obviously, you know, the real unvarnished truth is that we all manipulate in whatever we do. When we say hello to somebody and smile, when we pay a compliment, when we're informal, when we pay them more money, whatever we do, these are all attempts to engender positive reactions from people. So I do think that informality, there's nothing wrong with it. It imposes no cost on anybody. It tends to make people more relaxed. And so, you know, I'm not so particularly, I'm not at all really bothered by employers of any stripe encouraging informality. For example, that can be as simple as not requiring men to wear a tie to work. Ties actually constrict blood flow to the brain. They're uncomfortable, and they serve no purpose other than a superficial appearance of formality, of professionality. But the second example that you gave, that of low wages, the hypocrisy, that I did mention earlier. You said you did join us late. The hypocrisy of so many, you know, nonprofits and government agencies and politicians proclaiming caring about worker rights and good pay, when in fact they hire as many interns as they can, and which would have been paying jobs to have skirt the minimum wage law, where they do hire as many people part-time with no benefits as possible. The hypocrisy of that must include universities, which are perhaps the worst offenders. The percentage of faculty members that are now part-time, no benefits, people with PhDs who have delayed gratification, worked forever, paid a fortune to get their degrees, and they're paying them literally what ends up being pretty close to minimum wage. So that the university, which everybody acknowledges is so overloaded with administration, layer after layer of high paid administration, and of course the newspaper, the media talks about the, you know, president pay obscene, like $5 million a year. And that same president is probably ensuring that a good faculty in the political science and sociology departments are hired, those who advocate worker rights. I mean, that is utterly offensive to me. At least corporations, they don't proclaim to be social justice organizations. They proclaim to serve the shareholder, create a great product at a fair price. So there's no hypocrisy there in paying the people as little as possible. But those universities and those nonprofits and those politicians, you know, them skirting the minimum wage law and paying people as little as they can, the hypocrisy is just breathtaking. And then the third, of course, you know, the employers, and this exists in corporate America as well as in nonprofits, people who preach one thing and do the other. I mean, that's, you know, it's maybe it's just human nature. But since it's my inner Scrooge allowed to come out, I'm just going to support what you say. There's a million people who are blowhards pontificating about how well we should treat each other. And then when it's expedient and quiet and when they can't be detected, then they go and take care of number one. So anyway, I'll give out the phone number again. I am on this kind of, as we enter the holiday season, I am devoting one show to unleashing my inner Scrooge on both employers and employees. So I kind of let loose for about 10 minutes and am now inviting you to call in with your inner Scrooge. We can save the positivism for future shows. Well, there's a general positive bias in humankind. But for today, if you are looking for an excuse to lay into employers, your employer, or your employees, people you supervise that drive you nuts, unleash your inner Scrooge here on Work with Marty, NEMCOD KALW. The phone number, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Let's go back to the phones. It's your turn on the air. What's on your mind? Hello, it's you. Hi. Are you there? One more shot. I guess you are not. So, okay. Let's go to the next line. Welcome to the show. Where is your inner Scrooge going to be unleashed?
Hi, Marty.
Hi.
Okay. Well, you know, it seems that a lot of people forget that household work is work, too, and is a workplace. And so let me turn my radio off here. So what I've encountered sometimes is clients saying, oh, yeah, you're part of our family, and, yeah, we're equals. I mean, they'll actually say this and then turn around and say, oh, look at all these things I bought and I have. I paid so much money for them. But, no, I don't want to know how many hours you're putting in or you know, you don't need the right tools for your job. And so I am very lucky to be white and English-speaking and higher paid and to get what I need and to be able to so much so that I can leave these people in the dust. But I really, really feel for someone who's not in my position who has to put up with this just because they don't have the education or until they can do something better. Or a lot of the unemployed people who have to do, who are forced into this work now, it's very oppressing, and so that's my inner Scrooge.
Okay,
thank
you very much. I'll play my inner Scrooge in response. There is a primary presupposition among many people that says that all people should be treated equally. It's the egalitarian impulse. But the persons who are cleaning houses, while it is honorable work and I completely respect their work, to begrudge the person they work for because that other person has made more money, and yes, they could have stolen it and they could have gotten it on the backs of the worker, but they probably delayed gratification. They probably worked harder in school. They probably invested their money rather than spend it on some crap. They probably have added more value. If an employer paid them more money, it means probably that they have added more value to humankind or to the workforce or whatever. And so for a cleaning person to begrudge somebody who says, gee, I spent a lot of money on these gifts, and to say to you, no, you know, I'm not going to count your hours. Don't worry. Just work as many as you want. I even my inner Scrooge does not get unleashed against that kind of person. Let's go back to the phone. We'll give out the phone number again. You're listening to Work with Marty Nemko. The topic is we're allowing ourselves, that is me as well as you, my dear listeners, to unleash your inner Scrooge either on employers or employees, your employer or your employee. If you want to complain about them, I'm a particular nut about the hypocrisy of employers and the dishonesty of employees in playing the game and playing the system. But if you have a particular bugaboo that you would like to share, the phone number here at Work with Marty Nemko, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And back to the phones. What is your perspective, oh Scrooge or Scroogette? Hello, it's you.
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, the word hypocrisy that you just mentioned is the one that I was going to open my statement with. And what I have seen is it is particularly true in small companies that are privately owned, and where the sentiment seems to be to try to convey, we are all family, we all are in this together, we all must work hard, and even to the point of evaluating supervisors on how much their people who report to them like them and feel they treat them like family, yet when it comes down to the things that are important to the employees, such as raises, bonuses, money, then all of a sudden they're not family anymore. And it's also superficial, and let's all be nice, let's all be happy, let's all like each other, but I'm going to take home 40 times as much money as you are.
To be honest, that is exactly what I see. You know, when I hear even somebody on the radio who I recently heard talk about the importance of sharing and cooperation, I asked myself, what if that person who hosted that radio show said, you know, I really want to serve the common good. So instead of me hosting it all the time, I'll find the best people in the country who have experts in this, and we'll share, and every week there'll be a different host. Do you think that employee, that radio host who so embraced collaboration and sharing for the common good, what do you think the chances are of that host saying, oh, I'm going to give up my show 50 weeks out of the year for the common good. Zero.
Right.
You know, it is true. I don't know who originally said it. Don't judge somebody by what they say, judge them by what they do. But, they, you know, we all want to feel like we have a shared world vision. And ideally, that would be the case. But unfortunately, human nature, whether it is the survival instinct that Maslow talks about or whatever, in crunch time, most, there's, you know, certainly there are some who are saints, but most people end up quietly, if they don't get caught or if they don't suffer too many reprisals, choose for what's going to take care of number one. Do you think that's Scrooge or is that fair?
Oh, I think that's Scrooge, unless it would be fair if that's the way they acted and voiced it.
No, I don't mean fair. I mean, is that a fair statement to say? Is that an accurate statement?
Yes, I think that's very accurate. Yes.
Anyway, I want to thank you for the call. We've got a lot of lines filled here. I want to make sure we get as many perspectives as possible. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko. It's your turn on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi,
it's you.
Yes, hi, Marty.
Hi.
Hi. So I want to unleash my inner Scrooge on a relatively that I'm in, and that would be it caught my ear because you kept mentioning delayed gratification, and I think there's kind of a public misconception. So I'm a medical resident, as everybody knows, we work a lot.
Yep.
But we're also seen as something of a cash cow in terms of the barrier to entry to the field, and let me tell you what I mean by that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you go through several entrance exams. So I'm 34, and I'm just now entering workforce as a medical resident because I went to graduate school and then medical school.
Mm-hmm.
And extreme delay of gratification.
Right.
But the other thing is that accruing along the way. Now, I worked full-time throughout most of high school and undergraduate and graduate school.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been working since I'm basically 11 years old.
Yep.
But I went to a public medical school, and you accrue about $230,000.
Yep, even in a public medical school, it's amazing. It's true. I'm really glad you're calling. This is real. I have a lot of doctor clients, and this is a story I'm hearing again and again. Please keep talking. This is under-discussed.
Sure. And so the barrier to entry to our field is enormous. The expectations when you're done are huge, and we sort of unleash our inner Scrooge to each other in the doctor field all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And even though we love what we do, and potentially the Affordable Care Act may help or hinder, depending on what your practice is based around, we don't have in medicine advocates and unions and things that can pull for us the same way it can in other areas. Basically, I think the best term to use is you're something of a cash cow in terms of the barrier to entry to the field.
Doesn't the American Medical Association, isn't it a very, very powerful lobby that acts on behalf of doctors?
This comes up a lot. They're a powerful lobby organization, but they don't really push much through that is on behalf of doctors, and they're not really involved with residency. They do maintain some legal protections for physicians, but not in the same way that you would see in other fields that that have sort of lifestyle management implications as well.
Yep. I mean, this really bears out. Remember the cleaning woman who called and said that she felt offended that the people she cleans for are spending much more money on gifts, and, you know, she's paid, she says, quite well. She still resents them. You know, to be a cleaning person, you don't have to finish high school. To as you just pointed out, to be a physician, you have to take at least the 6 hard courses in college that most people can't take, like organic chemistry, 2 semesters of organic chemistry and physics.
Yep.
You got to go through 4 years of medical school where you incur $230,000 in debt. You have to have an internship of 80 to 100 hour work weeks. You have to do a 2 to 4 year residency where you're paid probably less per hour than somebody working at McDonald's. And now with, you know, Medicare reimbursements being, you know, cut to the bone, you're seen as a rich fat cat, and you're expected to keep up with the research literature that is growing so fast, and you've got all these liability issues. You know, we should be calling you a hero. Instead, we're calling you part of the one percenters. Am I being too nice to you?
No. I mean, I would never characterize myself as a hero, but I think, you know, there are some special requirements, emotional requirements, to being in medicine. And
yep.
So there's a lot of baggage that comes along with the job. And I think managed care and hospital organizations that most of us work for nowadays kind of force us into a box that does not consider, we support each other in medicine, but there isn't sort of institutionalized support that comes along with the field, and I think that's where a lot of our inner Scrooges come from.
It's a very interesting statement. You said there's some certain emotional characteristics that a doctor has. You mind expanding on that a little bit for me?
Sure. I mean, no matter what field of medicine you're in, you're going to spend a lot of your time thinking about your own mortality and the mortality
yes.
of your family members, and faced with sort of emotional issues of life and death that don't
yes.
come along with other jobs, except perhaps EMTs, firefighters, police.
Right.
They're also faced with it, and they are far underpaid relative to physicians.
That is why I was going to be a physician until it was confronting me with my mortality, and I just couldn't face it. I feel like we're better off when we can suppress that. But if you as a physician are facing it every day and dealing with every exam being, when you tell somebody that he or she is okay, and in fact miss something, or vice versa, you are constantly confronted with your mortality. That's a great point.
Oh, sure, and that's the fear that all of us live with every day at work, is will we miss something that will harm someone that
right.
we took to protect? Yeah, absolutely.
I really appreciate your call. I love when calls present under-discussed perspectives on work, and you certainly are an honored member of the Work with Marty Nemco workforce. So thank you so much for calling, huh?
Thank you.
At the risk of not sounding like a Scrooge, I really appreciate him. Anyway, you're listening to Work with Marty Nemco on this kind of pre-holiday edition. We're allowing ourselves the luxury of not adopting the American bias toward positivism, but unleashing our inner Scrooges on both employers and employees. And so I started the show by doing that, you know, being Scroogey about employers and then about employees. Not all, but I made a point of specifying some employers and some employees. Now I invite you to do the same. If you are feeling Scroogey about either your employer or an employee of yours, or collectively about the world of employers or employees, I invite you to call here, Work with Marty Nemco. And as well, I guess this is as good a time as any, we can broaden things. If you are, as we enter this holiday season, you have not felt good about your work life this year and are hoping to make next year a better work life for you or for someone you love, you can call in for that as well. So two reasons to call. One is you want to unleash your inner Scrooge on an employee or employer, or you would like to help your own career moving forward. The phone number here at Work with Marty Nemco, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. I love doing 3-minute workovers. That's one of the main reasons I do this show. Now let's go back to the phones. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Hi, Marty. This is the better paid household worker. I respect and admire my clients. I really admire what they've done for themselves, and I'm working every day towards creating a new business for myself too. So there's no resentment there. I'm just speaking for those who try to pay less than minimum wage and have the attitude to go with it. I don't resent any of them who try to do that with me, because I just see that they're suffering in some way themselves, and I have compassion for that. But I think
are you sure they're suffering? Let's say I were this upper middle class person, and I bought into the standard American materialistic lifestyle, and I'm spending all this money on Christmas presents, and I happen to mention to you, as the person who's my house cleaner, geez, it's amazing how much it's costing me. I'm not in pain. I'm not suffering. Why are you implying that these people are suffering, or even that they should suffer?
Well, because it's not about the gifts that paid for. In fact, I tell my customer, I know that one of them, she sacrificed a lot to put her kids through college, and I really respect that. And we work together on setting a rate that's win-win, that we can both live with. And I like my labor to be supporting their furthering their own lives. And so that makes me feel good. What I'm talking about is customers who say, look at all the expensive, look at the statue I have. I paid, $500,000 for this or something. And
Do you actually have a client who's paying $500,000 on a statue?
But But sorry, I can't pay you minimum wage. There are customers like that, and nothing excuses mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. I think maybe you're thinking about we're thinking about two different kinds of behaviors here. But I think you really misunderstood. I understand what it takes to further one's place in life, and I'm working hard on that, and that's why I respect my customers. And I like to make their lives better. I like to enable their missions in life by the work that I do for them. And so, but I think that it's really different for someone who doesn't have the language or doesn't have the education, or maybe they're a single working mom who just can't get to school right now. And so sometimes they might have to put up with that kind of behavior.
Okay. You're repeating yourself now, so I need to end this conversation. We can certainly agree that somebody who's got $500,000 statues should be paying it more than minimum wage to their cleaning workers. Thank you very much for the call. Okay, let us turn to. I think we've played this out. Let's go in another direction. We've got somebody else here on the line, so let's take one more call. This, and I'm going to switch gears. So, just give me a second, and we will get this caller on the line. Or welcome to work. I'll take one more minute. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko. It's your turn on the air. What's on your mind?
Hi, Marty. I just had a comment about you were talking about like delayed gratification and having to like wait until you make this higher fee as a resident. And I understand that the caller was talking about how he worked all these years and things to get to that point. But when you look at the majority of who's like being a doctor, it's because their families are wealthy, or there are people who can support them to allow them to delay that gratification. So, I mean, I understand your point about the, you know, the doctors and having to do that.
You're cutting out, so I'm going to thank you for the call. You're on a cell phone. Many people who go to medical school do have some family support, but many, many, many doctors do incur massive amounts of debt, and they certainly have delayed gratification. I'm not quite sure why that person is not seen as more worthy. You know, I don't believe that everybody in the world is equally worthy. Everybody has a certain amount of worthiness simply by virtue of being human, and whether they are, you know, even whether they're unemployed or a cleaning person or a doctor. But that doesn't mean that everybody is worth the same thing. And to me, I'm more than happy to make judgments that say that somebody who delayed gratification, started like this doctor, working from when age 11, he wasn't just supported with a silver spoon. I mean, it's just some hypothetical. The guy was working from when he was 11 and through high school, and did have to take organic chemistry and physics and all the rest of it, and did endure 4 years of medical school, and did endure $230,000 in debt. And that's not anomalous. And he did endure 80 to 100-hour a week internships, and he did have to go through a 2 to 4 year residency, making $20,000 to $40,000 a year, which comes down to not much more than minimum wage. I mean, you know, it is kind of crazy that we are in an era where we are so egalitarian that there are some people who resent or would insist that everybody is the same, that cleaning person who could be a high school dropout, delayed gratification, not at all, and was not able to do more than, you know, to get somebody to pay them to do more than being a cleaning person, is equivalent to this doctor or the millions of doctors or anybody, nonprofit executives, government leaders, Barack Obama. You know, we are not all the same. And it is this silly notion that I think is pervading our society that we need to, it's almost reflexive that we need to reallocate, redistribute as many resources as possible from people like that doctor to people like the cleaning person or the unemployed person, that person who called kept talking about, person who don't speak English. Is that really cosmically just? Does that really serve the world when we redistribute what our value system says, redistribute to those not based on who contributes most to society, who has delayed gratification most, but who is the least income earning or who speaks English the worst? That to me is a formula for reducing America and indeed the world to its lowest common denominator. if you want a three, and we're going to switch to a wanting to 3 minute career makeovers, 3 minute career workovers. If you or someone you love would like to improve their work life, whether you are a clerk or you are a doctor or you're a CEO, whether it's nonprofit or for profit. I have the hubris to think I can usually help you no matter how serious your problem, no matter how high level your problem. The phone number here, Work with Marty Nemko, for what I call a 3 minute workover, 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. And to the phones. It's your turn on the air. What's on your mind? Hello. It's you.
Oh, hello. Hello.
Hi.
Is that me?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, hi. So I don't bemoan doctors and folks who've actually worked for their deferred gratification, but I do bemoan those who have an obscene amount of wealth through an accident of birth or through taking advantage of lobbying efforts.
Agree.
Those folks who say, well, I have a responsibility to my shareholders, I agree with them. They have a responsibility to their shareholders, but that's government is there to make sure that that doesn't get out of hand, and it seems that that should be the job of government, and they're not doing it.
I want to thank you for the call. I want to respond to both of those points. Inherited wealth. I am of two minds. There is a piece of me that thinks that passing on wealth to your children is bad. It does encourage lazy. I've seen a lot of trust fund babies who become lazy as a result, and then they're getting all this money that they didn't earn. On the other hand, if I have made money during my lifetime, and I choose that one, let's say I have a child who's not that efficacious, and I want to leave money to them so they're not homeless and they're not starving, and I choose to leave my money to that child, is that really the role of government, which it does if I have significant wealth, to take half of it and take it away or take all of it away? So I'm not sure about that. With regard to the shareholders, I have most of my money invested in Amazon, Toyota, Vanguard Index Funds, etc. Whirlpool, the appliance company. If those companies, they make a product that is affordable and good for many, many people. Shareholders are people who are like teachers, and anybody can buy a share of Toyota stock or Amazon stock or whatever, and thereby take the money that they have worked hard for and invest it if they are willing to delay gratification instead of buying some materialistic crap with it, but instead invest it in Amazon stock or Whirlpool stock or Toyota stock so that they can save for retirement or their kids to go to college or whatever. Does not the corporation, this Toyota company, which makes, I'm looking at Joanne Marr, both of us drive Toyotas. She drives a Toyota. I drive a Toyota. Mine has 228,000 miles on it. Hers has been around for quite a while. They're reliable, good cars. And so they're pleasing the public with a good, environmentally responsible product. And the shareholders, individual people who have invested in Toyota, are enabled to make that money that they've worked hard for grow for them. Are these bad entities, which is what the previous caller implied? No, I think we need to honor them. Yes, I don't like corporations that sneak and terribly pollute the environment, who make crap that nobody needs, or who abuse workers. But as far as I understand, people who work for Toyota don't make minimum wage, and they do get benefits. Even Walmart pays, I had to research this, that Walmart, after just a few months, does pay its employees benefits, including very small deductibles. So, you know, I am well aware of corporate excess, but I don't think we need to bash them exclusively and say government needs to put an even stronger restrictive hand on them. Let's go back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemko. It's your turn on the air. What's on your mind?
I'm interested in this 3 minute makeover thing. How does
Great.
This work?
You just tell me a little bit about your situation.
I've been working in academic science for many years.
Yeah.
And I even went to grad school for a while, but because of illness, I was not able to complete the PhD.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have two master's degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So staying in science, like, I'm limited in how far I can
yep.
go.
Yep.
But I'm very interested, and I love my job, and I love the kind of things and the ideas I get to work on.
Right. What kind of work
but
do you do?
Microbiologist, cell biologist.
Okay. So, for example, obviously in academia, the PhD, there's an oversupply of PhDs. So even with a PhD, it's far from a guarantor of work. But there certainly are master's level jobs for government and in industry. As a microbiologist, have you done a thorough job of investigating, jobs in the world of toxicology, public health, and in companies that create products in that space?
Oh, that's an interesting, toxicology. I hadn't thought of that.
Okay, well, that's what a 3-minute career makeover is. Sometimes it just takes a minute.
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. And I want to help you. So now we're going to turn all of our attention to you and your whatever work-related problems. If you or someone you love is stuck and you're facing the Christmas season and maybe you're going to be a little sad about your work life because at all these holiday parties, everybody's going to ask you, well, tell me about what you're doing career-wise, and you're not feeling very good about it and you're going to change the topic, I can usually help. I've been doing this now on this show. I'm in my 25th year doing it, and I want to be able to help you. And we can often give you at least a baby step forward, sometimes a giant step forward in just a moment, in almost no time. This woman who is no dummy, she had 2 master's degrees in academic science, and yet there is an obvious choice for a microbiologist like her. She just never thought of it. Maybe there's something you never thought of. The phone number here at Work with Marty Nemco for what I call a 3-minute workover, 415-841-4134. Back to the phones. It's your turn on the air. What's on your mind?
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, thank you. I'm on the topic that the other gentleman was speaking of. Is it okay to discuss it, even though I don't have a work problem?
Please go ahead.
Thank you. I would appreciate your perspective on something that I sometimes hear.
Mm.
There are people who say that they believe in equality of opportunity,
mm-hmm.
but not equality of outcome
right.
as helping society.
Right.
But something you just said made me think of something, and that was that you felt that there was a reasonable position to be made for if someone had significant wealth,
mm-hmm.
that it was fine to spend it for their children, to go to college, and whatever it would be.
Mm-hmm.
But is there an intrinsic contradiction in saying equality of opportunity should be a right, but then say that some people... children, therefore,
good question.
Will benefit from the ability of the parents to use their money in ways that actually create inequality of opportunity.
Right. You're confusing 2 things. I did not talk about that equal opportunity is a trumping good. It is so... that it is such a desire, it is a desirable goal, but I did not say that it is so important that indeed that we should restrict a parent's ability to fund their child. I think that equality of opportunity is one of many worthy goals, and I love your question. It's a thoughtful, nuanced question. It is a worthy goal, but it needs to be weighed against other goals, and I think the price that society would pay from an even greater taxation of the middle class and wealthy. Right now, the top 5% pay 59% of the income tax. I believe that to raise it further to in the service of increased equality of opportunity would create both a disincentiving effect of the middle class, but also there seems to be at a highest level a cosmic injustice that accrues from saying, if we so value creating equal opportunity to everybody that we're going to tax even more than 59%. So anyway, I want to thank you very much for the call because our lines are filled. But great call. Appreciated the nuanced question. Back to the phones. Welcome to Work with Marty Nemco. It's your turn on the air. What's on your mind?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, great. I have a landscape construction business.
Mm-hmm.
I do my own garden designs.
Mm-hmm.
And... you know, we survived the recession.
Hmm.
I'm a landscape contractor, so I design and install and maintain my own gardens.
Okay.
That's also
part of why you did it. You were turnkey, and you didn't create a massive bureaucracy. You're a one-stop shop, which was very helpful.
Yeah, and my clients really appreciate
right.
that, actually.
Right.
I'm a single mom,
mm-hmm.
and I'm growing my business, and I'm super busy, and I really need a business partner. And for years, I've been saying that. But I really don't know how to find one. But
right.
my business is becoming more successful. As a designer, I've built a good reputation for myself.
Awesome.
And people are really interested in my work.
Love it.
And I need help.
Okay, great. So I would encourage you before you know, the highway of small businesses past are littered with partnerships that blew up the business.
Right. So I've been so cautioned against it, and I haven't done a whole lot to pursue.
Don't do it. Right. Don't get a, for starters, don't get a partner. Get somebody with a skill set that you would like to have, that you nonetheless pay them a salary. Right. If you're doing that well, why give up part of your business? Pay them. You can certainly give them profit sharing. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's usually wiser to hire somebody, because if it doesn't work out, you can terminate them. Well, it may be difficult, but you can usually terminate them. If it's a partner, you are married.
Right.
What is the skill set, that's one or two, both most important skills that you want your, quote, partner to have, as well as sometimes you're just lonely and you've been doing it yourself too long and you need, you know, what is it you're really looking for in this person?
Help with a business management so that I can grow the business carefully. Mm-hmm. You know, landscape construction is an industry that you can, it's risky. You can make money or you can lose a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it requires a really strong business sense.
Yes. My dear, what I would suggest you do is you hire a consultant by the hour.
I already have done that. I have hired consultants, and I have, you know, some part-time help in terms of helping me manage the business. But, you know, there's just not the investment and wanting to take the time to really, you know, help me build the business to the next stage.
I am still, if all you're looking for is counsel, either before I went and either hired somebody as an employee or a partner, you've either not had the right consultant. I mean, I swear to you, I have clients whom that's exactly what I do. They call, it could be once in a month or in 4 months or in a week, when they're stuck. We just have a brief session, and they're paying me a tiny fraction of what it would cost to hire an employee. You need somebody who believes in you, who's, you know, ideally not, I'm not talking about me here, I deliberately don't like to sell myself, somebody in your industry, maybe somebody who was very successful and has retired, or is closing on retirement and wants to leave a legacy. You need to find somebody who's awesome and who cares. What do you think?
I mean, I do have those people in my world too. I've done that as well. I've done those things, and I do have people who I can call, and people who give me great advice when I'm stuck, if I have a question, and all of those things. It's literally like I need two of me.
Okay.
I need more help doing more of the work and
taking on
more of the responsibility.
Well, fine. Let's talk about the work. What is the work that you'd like? So you've got the consulting advice. So you've changed gear. When you started the conversation, you wanted somebody to help you grow the business, who's smart, who can control risk. Now you're telling me you need somebody more who's kind of on board to do the kind of the work that you're doing, the day-to-day stuff.
Yeah. So I guess I need two things. I need either somebody, a business partner who can help with the business management end, or who wants to just help oversee and manage the construction end so that I can focus more on the design end.
Okay. Here is my take on it, for what it's worth, given this little conversation.
Sure.
I think you want to hire a worker to do some of the work. That's going to be cheaper. Some of that operation stuff, that'll free you to do the design. And then I think you need to either rely on your existing brain trusts of people to give you counsel and advice. And if, you know, you wouldn't have called me if you felt your existing brain trust was good enough. I would invite you to look a little harder to find some brilliant business person in your field to give you a smarter strategic plan moving forward. That way you kill it. But you can't expect one person to do both of those.
Mm-hmm.
Get the consulting advice on the hourly basis. Hire somebody to do the more low-level work to free you up to do the design. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I have 5 employees.
Okay, but you
but
say
that
you...
does make sense. And I think what you said is, you're right, I probably wouldn't have called if the existing brain trust I have was doing what I needed them to do as much as I need them to do it.
And you might pick somebody who's not in your geographic area, because somebody who's really hot in your geographic area may view you as a competitor, maybe not.
Mm-hmm.
So you might not need to limit yourself to, you know, to wherever you are, the East Bay. But rather, you know, find somebody who is awesome, who's got great Yelp reviews, somebody who's maybe in a little different geographic area, whose business you can sense is booming, who's really viewed by everybody as awesome, their customers as awesome. And try an hour with that. That's the beauty of hiring somebody by the hour. You risk almost nothing, just an hour's pay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or even sometimes, you know, one more little tip. I love this idea, which doesn't cost you any money at all. I have, it's 2 years ago, I started what I call a board of advisors. These were not specific to my field, but I just, the half dozen smartest, most ethical people who would do well in a discussion group, who don't dominate or who are too quiet, we meet by teleconference once a month, and we share ideas with each other in whatever, and it is incredibly valuable. No money changes hands. It feels terrific. Maybe you need to find a half dozen of your peers who do a great job of doing what they do and invite them to either meet for coffee or a teleconference, and that might get you a lot of the input you need. What do you think?
That sounds good, too.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you called Work with Marty Nemco. Appreciate it a lot.
Thank you.
Take care. We have time for one more call. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Hi, it's you.
Hi.
Hi.
My business shut down years ago when Getty Images monopolized the stock footage industry.
Right.
And
for those who don't know,
Getty,
stock footage, excuse me, just so people don't know, stock footage, these are like images of, you know, of photographs that are used for commercial purposes. They have this huge library of images, and that has killed everybody else. Continue.
Yes, it was a pretty good business for a while. I was making my living with it
right up
to about the year 2000, and I had even borrowed against my family's house to finance trips driving across the country to shoot stock footage, which at the time was shot on motion picture film. It was very expensive.
Right.
And I built up my own little library, which I thought I was going to be able to continue to sell
for
the rest of my life.
You're going to have to be brief because we're running up against the end of the show. So ask your question.
Okay, so it got shut down by someone who just had a lot of money, which was Getty Images. So it's similar to Walmart moving into small towns and shutting down businesses. I'm wondering, how can I revive this business?
You can't. That business is dead.
You need
to grieve it. You need to go into a different industry. That is, you know, in the same way as Walmart, while it has shut down many small businesses, it also enables the poor people of America and the working class to afford things because they're enormous economies of scale. You need to come up with some other business idea. That business is dead. It's not just Getty Images. There's a few others, but you're not going to compete with the Walmarts, you know, with images. That's got to be dead. And that, you know, given the amount of time we have, and if you called in earlier, we would try to come up with something new. But you need to grieve this, and that is an important lesson for all of us. You can't. It's like when you lose, you're down 20% or 30% in a stock. It's usually wiser to sell the stock and reallocate your money to a better stock than to continue, because you're often going to just continue to lose more money. You need to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. And that is Work with Marty Nemco for this week. All of you who are waiting on the line, sorry we couldn't get to all of you. Please call in earlier next week. I do want to thank my board operator, Joanne Marr, and of course, all of you for listening and calling in. Please do join me again next Sunday at 11. I will do more 3-minute career makeovers, 3-minute workovers. Do call in next week. And I continue, I've gotten some feedback that the last couple of weeks I had been presenting a bunch of under-the-radar careers in this terrible job market. It really is important to try to go under the radar and not just try to do what everybody else is doing if you stand a chance to getting a job. So do listen in for that. Until next Sunday, this is Marty Nemco reminding you that we find comfort among those who agree with us, growth among those who don't.